counsel a triple braided cord. Gene and Alan were faced with an uncomfortable decision. Gene's brother and his wife had just moved to Florida from Chicago. Because they experienced real financial difficulties in Chicago, the bank wouldn't loan them the money to purchase a home unless they had someone to co-sign the note. They asked Alan and Gene to co-sign, and Gene pleaded for Alan to do it. However, he was reluctant. When they came to me asking for advice to resolve this problem, I simply asked them to read the verses from the Bible that addressed co-signing. When Gene read the passages, she responded, "Who am I to argue with God? We shouldn't co-sign." Alan was so relieved. 2 years later, Gene's brother and his wife were divorced, and he declared bankruptcy. Can you imagine the strain on Gene and Alan's marriage if they'd co-signed that note? They wouldn't have been able to survive financially. Fortunately, they sought counsel. This is in sharp contrast to our culture's practice, which says, be a rugged individualist that makes all decisions alone and unafraid. King Solomon's often remembered as the wisest king who ever lived. He wrote in Proverbs 19:20, "Listen to advice, accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise." And in Proverbs 12:15, he wrote, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." The Bible encourages us to seek counsel from several different sources. First is the Bible itself. In Psalm 119, verse 24, the psalmist wrote, "Your laws are both my light and my counselors." Moreover, in Hebrews 4, the Bible makes this remarkable claim about itself. Listen to this. "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." You know, I found this to be true. The Bible is a living book that our Lord uses to communicate His direction and truths to all generations. It's the very first filter through which I put a financial decision. If the Bible clearly answers my question, I don't have to go any further because it contains the Lord's written, revealed will. If the Bible isn't specific about a particular issue, I subject my decision to the second source of counsel, godly people. Psalm 37, verse 30 says, "A godly man is a good counselor because he is just and fair and knows right from wrong." The Apostle Paul recognized the benefit of godly counsel. It's interesting. After he was converted on the Damascus Road, he was never alone in his public ministry. He knew and appreciated the value of a couple extra set of eyes looking down that straight and narrow road. Timothy, Barnabas, Luke, or someone else was always with him. In fact, in the New Testament, the word saint is never used in the singular. It's always saints in the plural. Someone has described the Christian life not as one of independence from each other, but of dependence upon each other. And nowhere is this more clearly illustrated than in Paul's discussion concerning the body of Christ in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Each of us is pictured as a different part of this body, and our ability to function effectively is dependent upon members working together. In other words, to operate in an optimal way, we need other people to help us. God has given each individual certain abilities and gifts, but He's not given any one person all the skills that he or she needs to be most productive. Now, if you're married, your spouse is to be your primary source of human counsel. A husband and wife are one. You know, women tend to be gifted with a wonderfully intuitive nature that's usually very accurate. Men tend to focus on the facts. A husband and wife need each other to achieve that proper balance for a correct decision. I also believe that the Lord honors a wife's role as helpmate to her husband. Many times the Lord communicates most clearly to a husband through his wife. So husbands, let me be blunt. Regardless of her business background or her financial aptitude, you have to seek your wife's counsel. I've done this. And even though Bev's formal education wasn't related to business, she has developed a very excellent business instinct, and her decisions are often much better than mine. And indeed, her perspective always helps me. And by consistently seeking her advice, you keep your wife informed of your financial condition. And this is really important in the event a husband dies before his wife or he's unable to work. When my dad was 51 years old, he suffered a massive heart attack that incapacitated him for 2 years. But because he had kept my mother abreast of the business, she was able to step in and successfully operate it. Seeking the counsel of your wife also helps preserve your relationship because you're both going to experience the consequence of the decision. And if you both agree about a decision, even if it proves to be disastrous, your relationship is much more likely to remain intact. Also, we should seek the counsel of our parents. Proverbs 6, verse 20 says, "My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. When you walk about, they will guide you." Wow, what a tremendous passage. I can't tell you how much I've benefited from the counsel of my mother and dad. Our parents have the benefit of years of experience. They know us so well, and they have our best interests at heart. Now, in my opinion, we should seek their counsel even if they don't yet know Christ or they haven't been good money managers themselves. You know, it's not uncommon for an unspoken barrier to be erected between a child and the parents. Asking their advice is a way to honor them and to build a bridge across any wall. But let me give you a word of caution. Genesis 2, verse 24 reads, "A man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So although the husband and wife should seek the counsel of their parents, any advice of the parents should be subordinated to the advice of the spouse, especially if a family conflict materializes. Well, during the process of searching the Bible, obtaining counsel from godly people, we also need to ask the Lord for direction. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, we're told that one of the Lord's names is Wonderful Counselor. And Psalm 32, verse 8 clearly identifies the Lord as our counselor. Here's what it says. "I, the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." Isn't that a terrific promise and passage? You know, we receive the counsel of the Lord by praying and listening. Tell the Lord about your concerns and the need for specific direction. Then quietly, very quietly, listen for his still, small voice. Well, we should also try to obtain counsel from a multitude of counselors. Proverbs 15:22 reads, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." And in Proverbs 11, verse 14, it says, "Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there's victory." You know, the older I've become, the larger compass has grown, the more I recognize my need for a multitude of counselors. Each of us has a limited range of knowledge and experience, and we need others with their own unique backgrounds to give us insights and alternatives that we never would have considered without their advice. One of the Lord's most gracious gifts to me has been surrounding me with a wise board of directors and an unusually competent team of staff members whose counsel is just invaluable. Well, another practical way of applying the principle of many counselors is to become involved in a small group. For years, I've met regularly with a small group to pray and share, and through the years, our group has been through all kind of traumatic times together. Newborn babies, deaths of parents, job changes, serious illnesses, starting new businesses, home and financial pressures. I mean, it's just been part of the small group. And the advice of these friends not only has benefited our finances, but it's contributed significantly to our emotional and spiritual health. We've rejoiced together during each other's successes, and we've comforted and wept with each other during the difficult times. We've learned that when somebody is in the midst of a painful situation, it's very difficult for him or her to make wise, objective decisions. We've experienced the safety of having a group of people who love one another, even when it hurts. I'm much more receptive to corrective criticism when it comes from someone who cares for me. King Solomon described the benefits of dependence upon one another in one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12. Listen to this. "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls, the other will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Wonderful way of expressing it. Well, because of their importance, some decisions deserve more attention than others. Decisions concerning a career change or a home purchase, for example, affect us for a lot longer time than most choices we make. And throughout the Bible, we're told to wait upon the Lord. Whenever you face a major decision or experience a sense of confusion concerning a course of action, I encourage you, set aside some time to pray, fast, and listen quietly for His voice and will. Now, it's clear from Scripture that we really need to avoid one particular source of counsel. Psalm 1 tells us, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." The word blessed literally means happy many times over. A wicked person is one who lives his life without regard to God. Now, in my opinion, we can seek specific technical assistance, such as legal and accounting advice from those who don't know the Lord, but then armed with that data, our financial decisions should be based on the counsel of those who know the Lord. The Bible also tells us bluntly never to seek the advice of fortune tellers, mediums, spiritualists. Leviticus 19, starting at verse 31, says, "Do not turn to mediums or spiritists. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord, your God." And listen to 1 Chronicles 10, verse 12. "So King Saul died for his trespass, which he committed against the Lord, and also because he asked counsel of a medium, taking inquiry of it, and did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord killed him." Think about this. Saul died in part because he went to a medium. We should also avoid any methods they use in forecasting the future, such as horoscopes, Ouija boards, and all other practices of the occult. We also need to be cautious of the counsel of the biased. So when you're receiving financial advice, ask yourself this question. What stake does the person have in the outcome of my decision? If the advisor is going to profit, always seek a second, unbiased opinion. Well, there you have it. The Lord encourages us to seek counsel. And believe me, it's the safest thing that we can do.